Archbishop Trench made his comment. He said, all miracles are also parables. The miracles are parables of action, and the parables are miracles of teaching. And I think he had a wonderful point there, because every miracle told a story of another miracle, a spiritual miracle. Why did Jesus heal the blind? And the answer is because there's a spiritual blindness. And he wanted to show what he could do to spiritual blindness. Why did Jesus heal the deaf? Because there's a way to hear in your heart the voice of God. When we come to the Bible, we hear the Word of God. But Hebrews says, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. You can hear the Word of God without hearing the voice of God. And so, there's a miracle in order to hear the voice of God. Why did He heal the lame? To show us how to walk before God and before men. Why did He cast out demons? To show us the victory that was possible in our life over the enemy. Why did He raise the dead? Because there is spiritual life as well. And God wants to show us that He desires to give us spiritual sight and hearing and power and victory and so on. Let me quickly review the chief message of all 10 miracles, and that will get us back into the flow, and then we'll pick up where we left off. These miracles tell us this great truth that the Christian life is a miracle. It's a miracle from start to finish. No part of the Christian life is possible apart from a miracle of God. No part of the Christian life is possible by willpower or by our own resources or our own energy or wisdom or anything like that. It takes God to be a Christian. It's a miracle to be a Christian. If God withholds any of these 10 miracles, now not the miracle, the miracle's a sign, but what the miracle picture. If that is not in your life, then you need to be healed. If that's not in my life, I need to be healed. If God withholds His miracle, it is not in you. As a human being, even as a Christian human being, to be honest, you can't be honest. You can't be humble. You can't be generous. You can't be forgiving. You can't be loving. You can't be loyal. You can't be generous. You can't be sincere. It's not in us. It's not in us. And that's why God has to work it in us. The Christian life is a miracle. And then since all of these 10 are miracles, and they're miracles of healing, that's where we get the idea that God is teaching us what is a healthy Christian. To the degree these 10 miracles are in your life, to that degree you're healthy. To the degree these miracles are not in my life, to that degree, I need healing, and I need God to work that miracle in me. Together, we've discussed the first 6 miracles. What does a Christian look like? Now, I'm not going to reteach that, but let me say it in a word. You can glance at the handout sheet, and you'll see the principle. If I am healthy as a Christian, I will be supernaturally clean, illustrated by the leper. I will be miraculously obedient, illustrated by the centurion's servant. I will be serving the Lord by His strength, not mine, illustrated by the fever. I'll be at rest no matter what kind of a storm rages outside, illustrated by the calming of the sea. I will be victorious over abiding corruption in my heart, illustrated by that demon-possessed man. The last time we looked at the paralytic, is it easier to do? Is it easier to say? And he told us that we don't have to just say the words, if I am healthy, I will be real. I won't just be talking about it. I won't be saying, I have rest and I have victory and so on. But it will be real. My heart goes out to Christians because for 7 years a miracle life. And my heart goes out to believers, just look again at that list of miracles, who walk around in guilt and are always blowing it and are fizzling, constantly getting weary in ministry, who are fretting and worrying and nervous about every circumstance, who do not have victory, they're in bondage over their passions, and all they have are words. I tell you, my heart goes out to them because I know about that. I was there. And I'm so glad God began to dawn on my heart the truth that the healthy Christian is a miracle Christian. Clean, obedient, serving, resting, victorious, and genuine. Alright, let's look together then this morning at the seventh miracle in Matthew 9. Now, you might not call it the seventh because there's a little mix-up here, and I'll show you where that is. If you look at your notes, I made a little error. Lillian says that's not the first time I've done that. I gave you the correct reference in Matthew 9. I gave you the correct reference in Mark 5. But on the handout, I said Luke 7. And it's really Luke chapter 8. So you can correct that on your sheet. Or you can have another sheet where I've corrected it. Whatever's your pleasure here. I'm going to have Dick read from Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 to 22, please, and you follow along.
And behold, a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I shall get well." But Jesus turned and seeing her said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." And at once, the woman was made well.
Now, before we look at the heart of that miracle, let me make two introductory comments about this miracle. Number one, even though we're studying Matthew, in this particular case, I'm not going to confine myself to Matthew. Because Matthew, what's presented in Matthew, his naked truth, is explained in Mark and Luke. In other words, if you just had Matthew, you'd have the truth, but it wouldn't be explained. And because some don't look at the explanation, there's been some confusion. That will become clear as we look at it. So in this particular case, I'm going to pull the records. I'm going to take Matthew, especially Mark and Luke, put all of the information so that we'll get God's complete heart. The second thing I want you to notice about this miracle, and that's why I said I'm not sure it's the sixth, depends on how you number the miracle, is because in all three accounts, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this miracle, the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, is in between the record of another miracle. In other words, it's interwoven with another miracle. So some people would call the other miracle first, or then some would say this is. In other words, God tells you the story of Jairus' daughter. And as that story begins to unfold, this woman comes in the middle. Some have called this the miracle that God does by the way. Well, by the way, he did this. On the way to this miracle, he worked this miracle. Then after he did this miracle, then he continues the story of the other miracle. So in all three accounts, you have the beginning of a miracle, an introduction of another miracle, and then the continuation of that other miracle. What we're going to do to make this as clear as possible is we're going to suggest a couple of reasons why this miracle is intertwined with that other miracle when we discuss Jairus. In other words, next week. When we look at that miracle, I'll make a couple of suggestions why the Holy Spirit did it this way. So, what we'll do now is just take this record. What will my life look like if I'm a healthy Christian? As is illustrated by this woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to ask Dick to read chapter 9, verse 22 again, please.
And Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." and at once the woman was made well.
Now you'll notice on the handout sheet that I call this principle the miracle of faith. Jesus said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." Literally, in the Greek, it says, "Your faith has saved you." Now that's as far as Matthew goes. He ends by calling our attention to that truth. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. Well, I'll tell you, that needs an explanation. And that's why we have Mark and Luke, because Mark and Luke explain what is meant by your faith has saved you. If all you had is Matthew, you might have the tendency to think and believe that faith is something. Your faith has saved you. And that if you have enough faith, then you can receive something from God. When Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you, your faith has made you well," he certainly meant something by that. I know he didn't mean to have faith in your faith. We need to know what he meant by that, and we need to know it from his own lips. That's why we're bringing in Mark and Luke, because they explain that particular expression. Now, before we look at what they say it means, I don't know, even if I might be raising some snakes that you're not even aware of and I won't be able to kill. But let me just tell you what it doesn't mean and what some have thought it does mean. Chapter 9, 22, "Thy faith has made you well." Now you know in the next miracle, Jesus could never have said that. He couldn't have gone to Jairus' daughter and said, "Your faith has made you well." Why? Because she was dead. There's no way she could have faith. He couldn't say in that miracle, "Your faith has made you well." And so before we know what that means, let me show you what I'm sure it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean if you had enough faith, you would be healed of your disease. It doesn't mean that. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but there's a doctrine, and it's widespread, and it's called healing in the atonement. Have you ever heard that expression? Healing in the atonement. Let me tell you what's meant by it, and I'll tell you where they get it. Here's what they mean by that. Healing is in the atonement, they say, as forgiveness of sins is in the atonement. In other words, Jesus died for my sins. No one would argue with that. They say Jesus also died for my diseases. He died for my sickness as well as my sin. They actually base that in this passage, Matthew 8. If you'll glance at chapter 8, verse 16 and 17.
And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were ill, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases."
They put that verse with Isaiah 53:5. Listen to Isaiah 53:5.
He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed.
They use those two passages to prove the point that Christ died for our sins. He also died for our sickness. And they say, as a sinner comes to the cross and claims from God forgiveness, "Christ died for me, therefore I claim forgiveness. If I don't get forgiveness when I come to the cross, it's my fault. It's unbelief. Because forgiveness is in the atonement. Christ died for my sin. And it's for everybody. So I can come and claim forgiveness." Just so they come to the cross and say, since he died for your disease, it's the same situation. If you come sick to the cross, and has made you whole. You can claim it the same way you claim forgiveness. And they say God teaches us that we should claim healing because Christ died for us. I've known many, many, many people who insist on that and believe that. And therefore, they condemn those who don't take that position. If they won't come, I've known some very sick people who have had God's light on some of this, and so they won't claim a healing from God. And they're put under condemnation. I know one dear brother who recently was told, if you won't trust God for your healing, you're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting your family. Do it because you love your family. They're grieving over your sickness, and you should trust God for healing because God died for your sickness. I remember one brother who had an incurable disease, and I happened to be with him at the time. A brother came to visit. He said, I've come to pray for your healing. Well, he had other light on that, and so he asked him, please don't pray for my healing. And the sick brother, even though he was polite, was sort of rebuked by this other brother, and the brother said, you are limiting God by not letting him heal you. And I never forget this brother's answer. He said, no, you're limiting God by insisting that he heal me. I've left him free to heal me or not, whatever is his will. You're the one limiting God by insisting that. Well, I can see where they get their convictions. Matthew 9:22, once again.
But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was made well.
If all you had was that verse, it would certainly look like there's some virtue in faith to bring healing. Now, I don't want to do a whole lesson this morning on healing. I've done that on another occasion in another place. Of course, every Christian believes that the Lord can heal. You'd be an unbeliever if you didn't believe he could heal. And that he sometimes does. There's no doubt about that. But we don't believe healing is in the atonement. Not as they mean it. I like to state it this way, and I think it's more accurate to the Bible. Healing is based on the atonement. But it's not in the atonement. Now what I mean healing is based on the atonement? Well, what I mean is very general. It's this. Every good thing God's ever done for you is because Christ died for you. Every good thing God's ever done for me is because Christ died for me. And in that sense, healing is based on the atonement. If there's any healing at all, it's because Christ died for you. So in that sense, it's based on the atonement. But that's the reason I want to pull together Mark and Luke's account with Matthew, because they give an explanation of what is meant by your faith has made you whole. I'll promise you, he is not encouraging a person to trust his faith. There's no value in that. You can't have faith in your faith. Faith must have an object. And the object of faith can never be faith. It's Christ himself. Now what does Jesus say in Mark and Luke that sheds light on that expression, your faith has saved you, your faith has made you well? Now listen, if you would, and follow along, Mark chapter 5, verses 30 and 31.
And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me?
You see, Mark gives that additional information that Jesus said, who touched me? He's making an issue of it. All she wanted to do, I think, from the record, is crawl into the reach of his garment and touch the hem of his garment. According to Numbers, there was the blue tassels on the end of the Jewish garment. And she just wanted to touch that. Matthew 9, 21. Listen, this is what was going on in her heart.
For she was saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I shall get well.
Now, why did the Lord Jesus make a scene? Now, all on the way to Jairus' home, there's a parade of people, a lot of people. And he stops in the middle, and he makes a scene, and he makes an issue about being touched. The woman is embarrassed, and she finally comes forward in Mark 5, 32-34. Listen, please, to these verses.
And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came out and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.
I believe the Lord Jesus made this scene to cast light on Matthew 9:22, your faith has made you well. What light is shed on that? Because this is healthy faith. God is going to use this woman to show us what is healthy faith. If I don't have this kind of faith, I'm sick. If you don't have this kind of faith, you're sick. So what is healthy faith? Now, if you just use these eyes, your physical eyes, and read the record, you would say the woman reached out and touched the garment of Christ. That's true as far as it goes, but it doesn't go far enough. She touched more than the garment of Christ. She touched more than the blue tassel. She touched more than the hem of his garment. What did she touch? Who touched me? Who touched me? Jesus was asking, who touched him? She touched Christ through the garment. Virtue came out of the Lord. Virtue's not in faith, it's in the Lord. There's no healing, there's no power in the garment. One illustration of that I love, we won't read it now, but it's John 19:23-25. John 19 talks about the foot of the cross. And you remember one of the things they did at the foot of the cross was they gambled for the garment of Christ. He had a garment. And that garment had, it was seamless. And they didn't want to tear it and divide it, so they gambled. Whoever won the toss of the dice would get the whole thing. Now, I want you to picture whatever soldier it was, a Roman soldier, walking away from the cross with the garment of Christ thrown over his shoulder. He's got the whole garment, not just a hem. He doesn't have just the tassel. He has the whole garment. Did that soldier find healing, the one who gambled for the garment? Probably not. Why? And the answer is, Christ was not in the garment. The garment is nothing if Christ is not in the garment. The reason she was helped is because she touched Christ through the garment. She touched the garment, but she really touched the Lord. And the picture that he's giving of faith, what is healthy faith? Healthy faith is a faith that can reach through the means and touch the Lord. Reach through the garment and touch the Lord. Now, as Christians, we must never despise means. Praise God for means. He's given us means. Now, what do I mean by means? I think heaven is preserved for touching God apart from means. When we get to heaven, then we'll see Him face to face. Then we'll know as we're known. Then we won't need means. There'll be no need of the light of the sun, or of the moon, or of the star. You won't need your Bible when you get to heaven. You won't need nature. You won't need creation in order to touch God when you get to heaven. But in this life, the healthy Christian and not touch the Lord. That's an unhealthy faith. Listen to Mark 5:31, please. And we'll be a little while in Mark 5, so you might want to stay there. Mark 5:31.
And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'"
When he said, "Who touched me?" they were surprised. They said, "Don't you see the crowd? Everybody's touching you. Everybody's bumping into you." I love to relate Mark 5:29 with Mark 5:30. Listen to both of these verses, please.
"And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?'"
When she had the kind of faith that was healthy faith, that could touch Christ through the garment, she felt it. And so did God. God felt it. Jesus felt, perceived that power had gone from him, and she felt in her life that something had happened. Someone says, we need, as Christians, we need more Bible study. Because Bible study is a means given by God so that we can touch God. I say that's true if Christ is in it. If Christ is not in it, Bible study is like touching the robe without touching the Lord. It's like all those people who were bumping into Christ and never touched him. They were actually closer than the woman as far as the touching the body of Christ. They touched his body. They probably bumped into him, touched his head. She only touched his garment, but she's the only one who really touched in. You know, you can have Bible study all day long, never touch the Lord. Later on, we're going to show you how she used means. She went to all the doctors and everything and was nothing better but rather grew worse. You know what that means? That means if you have a Bible study and you don't touch Christ, it's not only not going to help you, it's going to hurt you. It's going to make you worse. Because knowledge puffs up. The more you know the Bible without seeing the Lord, the prouder you'll become. The more I know the Bible without seeing the Lord, the prouder I'll become. Because knowledge puffs up. You say, as Christians, one of the things that really grieves me, we don't have enough fellowship. We need more fellowship. God's given us that means in order to know the Lord. Yes, if Christ is in it. If he's not in it, fellowship, it'll hurt you. It's not a good thing. Christ has got to be in it. Otherwise, it's like touching the robe without Christ in it. It's like bumping into Christ along the way without actually touching him. Many, many, many churches focused on fellowship. They have all kinds of suppers and meetings and all kinds of fellowship. But they never touch the Lord. And when it's all over, God felt nothing and they felt nothing and nothing was accomplished. The kind of faith that heals is the kind of faith that reaches through the means and touch the Lord. I think probably the greatest illustration of this is the ordinances. Some people call them sacraments. The Lord's table. Baptism. You say, those are means. Means by which we can touch the Lord. That's true, but thousands of Christians take the Lord's table every week and they never touch the Lord. Rather than healthy, they say, well, it's healthy, I took communion this week. It's unhealthy as a Christian to touch the means without touching the Lord. That woman would have never had a healing if all she touched was the blue tassel at the bottom of the garment. A healthy Christian reaches through and touches the Lord. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I feel closer to God in nature. And I love nature. I like to gaze at the mountains. I like to stand by the sea. I like to walk in the forest and so on. Last year, sweet Lily and I had a chance to go to the Grand Canyon. stand on the southern rim and gaze out over the Grand Canyon. And I'll tell you, that was a spiritual experience for us, because we touched the Lord through the garment. But there were many, many people there who never touched the Lord. I was amazed as I was listening to them talk. They're oohing and aahing about how many million years to the Lord just by going out in nature. And someone says, I'm closer to God on Cliff Wall. I'm closer to God at Niagara Falls. I'm closer to God if I get to go to Europe or ski in Switzerland or something like that. You won't even be closer to God if you go to the Holy Land and walk in the very places that the Lord Jesus walked and saw the places that He was. You're not touching God by touching creation. Not necessarily. But if you can reach through the creature and touch the Creator, God feels it, you feel it, and that is a healthy faith. A healthy Christian does not stop at the means. Now, this principle of touching Christ through the means, I'm laboring it because it has unlimited application. I know some Christians think it's wrong to have possessions. It would be wrong for a Christian to be rich, to be wealthy, to succeed. I hope you don't believe that. Now, you can't seek both the Lord and this world's good. But you can have both. You can't seek both. You can only seek the Lord. But you can have both. He's given us freely all things to enjoy. If you touch Christ through the means, all things are yours. He's given us all things freely to enjoy. It all belongs to us. But we're to worship the Creator and not the creature. I know it sounds healthy if you're just a busy Christian constantly touching means. Now that's how, if you go to the average Christian and just say, describe a healthy Christian, they'll just talk about the means. A healthy Christian goes to church. Healthy Christian reads the Bible. Healthy Christian has fellowship. Healthy Christian gets together with other Christians. Healthy Christian supports mission. Those are all the means. Praise God for the means. But have you touched the Lord? Have you touched Christ? One is not healthy until by the miracle of God they reach through the means and touch the Lord. Going to church doesn't make you healthy. Going to church and touching Christ makes you healthy. Fellowshipping with believers doesn't make you healthy. Fellowshipping with believers and touching Christ makes you healthy. Bible study, quiet time. Go to get up early, have a quiet time. That quiet time can hurt you if you don't touch the Lord through it. We've got to touch the Lord. This miracle is commonly referred to as the woman with the issue of blood. That expression comes from Matthew 9:20, but from the King James. King James said that she was diseased with an issue of blood. I like that, the word issue. Listen to Leviticus 17:11.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood, by reason of the life, that makes atonement.
I like it because it's the life is in the blood, the Bible said. We have a lot of issues. This is an issue of blood. This is an issue of life. And I like it because it includes everything else. Now, I know on the level of earth, this poor woman was suffering from a menstrual problem. She had a flow, a problem, and it wouldn't stop hemorrhaging and so on. But because there are so many issues in life, life is the issue in this particular miracle. For 12 years, according to the record here, her life, that was her issue, her blood, her life, was just flowing away. And she was getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And can I suggest what a marvelous picture God has painted of the unhealthy Christian? They're believers, But their life is just passing away. It's just flowing away. No purpose, no strength, no energy, no life, just existence as a believer, and better that. Not only was her life passing away, but look at Mark 5:26.
And had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse.
So were her resources. She had gone to many doctors. She spent all the money she had. She not only wasn't helped, she got worse. This is a picture of a needy woman. This is a picture of a very sick person. All of her resources have been drained away. All of her life is being drained away. Nothing's worse than a Christian who's just living and passing away. No contribution, no purpose, no contentment in life. They're just passing away. I read a statement on Mark chapter 5, verse 30. I can hardly believe that someone would say such a thing. Listen to the verbs.
And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?"
This particular commentator called this the unconscious miracle of Christ. In other words, that he was surprised by it. And he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" He felt some power drain out, as if he didn't expect to heal this woman, as if he didn't know she was in the crowd, as if this whole thing took him by surprise. I hope with me you agree that that's nonsense. Of course he knew it, and of course he planned it. I want to show you from the record the process by which this sick person came to such healthy faith. I want to show you that process because I'm that sick person, and that's the very process by which I'll come to healthy faith. I don't like to always outline things step one, step two, step three, but sometimes that helps, so let me do it that way. What's the first thing God did in bringing her to healthy faith? Mark 5:27.
After hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak.
The first four words of that verse, after hearing about Jesus. That's how it begins. Faith comes by hearing. Somebody told her about Jesus. The second thing is that he came within her reach to reach her. Do you understand what I'm saying? He came within her reach. If you read the record, it looks like it's the stretching forth of her arm that got the blessing. She reached out and touched his garment. Well, she could stretch out her arm all day if he wasn't standing close enough for her to reach it. He always comes first. He is the one who is the initiator. We need never to neglect the means that God has put within our reach. But that's how he reaches us. He comes within our reach so that we can reach him. He not only lets us hear of him, somebody testifies, he not only comes close enough through means so that we can touch him, but did you notice how sensitive he was to her faith? I think this is one of the great teachings of the sensitivity of Christ. I think it's wonderfully illustrated because she just wanted to touch the blue tassel on his garment. You say, where do you get the idea of the blue tassel? If you get a chance, look it up. It's Numbers 15, 37 to 40. And the robe the Jew was to wear with the blue tassel was a sign that they were children of God. That's why they wore those. It's Numbers chapter 15, 37 to 40. But how sensitive you must be if someone just touches a thread of your garment. She didn't pull the tassel. She didn't grab his hem and yank it. She just wanted to reach out and touch it. Evidently, he was passing her by, and she touched him from behind. which, by the way, it doesn't say, but I know she was on her knees to do that. She had to be crawling, because that's at the bottom of the long room. And she was on her knees, she reaches out, and she touches his garment as everybody's bumping into him. And he says, "Who touched me?" You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, I know it's true of me. No matter how much you know of the Lord and how many times in His grace He's revealed Himself to you, you always feel like an idiot and you feel like a jerk and you feel like you don't have it and you don't know anything about faith and anything about victory and anything about anything. And you say, "Lord, I wish I had faith. I want to trust You." And so you reach out with whatever you have and you just, it's so feeble and you just touch Him. He feels it. No matter how weak your faith, if you reach through the means to touch the Lord, He feels it. He feels it. It's not possible to have too little faith. Struggling faith is regarded by God as genuine faith. And He regards it that way. It's real faith. And it's not the size of your faith, it's the object you're touching. If I had all the faith in the world, and I tried to cross a bridge that would only hold 200 pounds, could I get across that bridge without it going down? Just take a look at me, and you know. I could not. I could not. All the faith in the world wouldn't get me over a bridge that could only bear 200 pounds. Why? Because the object of my faith is the bridge. And the bridge can't support me. It's what you're trusting. And that's why a little faith, a very little faith, a tiny faith, almost insignificant faith, that touches a great city is unqualifiedly enough to get you over the bridge. And so that's what He does. He comes within our reach to reach us, and then He's so sensitive that whatever, however little faith we have, it becomes healthy because it touches Him. Finally, look at verses 33 and 34 of Mark 5.
But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction."
Seems like when you have healthy faith and you're enabled by God to touch Him through the means, that God will not let you secretly walk away from that blessing. But there will be manifestation. You'll have to share that with others. He calls her daughter. What a blessing that must have been to her heart to hear that word. Because it's all about relationship. When He said, "Daughter, go in peace," I thought that was the benediction. I thought, you know, go in peace. You at the end of the service, the preacher said, "All right, now go in peace." And that was a benediction. But that's not the Greek word that's used here. He's not saying, "Go in peace." It's the Greek that says, "Go into peace." In other words, peace is to be her environment. Like you go into air. You're breathing the air. This is now her environment. And she left that place, and her new life, her environment, her condition was now a condition of peace. Say, how can I have a healthy faith like that? Well, God, let somebody tell you about Jesus. And then He comes close enough through means that you can reach Him. And then you reach out in your feeble little faith and He feels it. And then it's all about relationship. And He sends you out in peace. We need that miracle. We've been coming here. I forgot. I was going to look it up. I forgot. But it has to be 8-9 years that we've been meeting at Trinity. Something like that. Every time we come, this Bible study is a means. So let me apply this as we close. Let me apply it very, very pointedly. And then also those listening by tape, you can take this as an application as well. If what I've said is true, that this is a means, and that means that you could have touched the Lord this morning through this Bible study. It also means if you touched the Lord this morning. That you're going to go out of here in worse condition than you came in here. You would not have been advantaged at all by this Bible study, but it will have weakened you. May God help us. Praise God for means, but be careful how you touch the means. Ask the Lord to help you. As you use the means, as you have your quiet time, as you read your Bible, as you pray, as you fellowship with sweet believers, as you touch the means, walking in nature, and praise God for His creation. But pray that you would become healthy. That's the miracle. If you're a healthy Christian, that'll be your life. All of these means, you'd be touching the Lord. Every time you're with believers, you're touching the Lord, and your whole life will be an environment of peace. May God make us healthy. Father, thank you for your precious word. This dear lady who made redemptive history because one day she was exhausted. Her life was draining away. Her resources were draining away. She fell on her knees and touched Christ through the means. Thank you for drawing near to her, for giving us this great explanation of what it means that your faith has saved you. Give us faith like she had, faith that reaches through the means to touch the Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.